getting from staff, but we'll figure that out. Thank you.
Thank you.
Always call us.
You know I'm going to laugh at that. I'm Joe Daniels. I am privileged and pleasured and graced to be part of the Selwood neighborhood. We live in a 115-year-old house. I am not that old, but it's really nice to have the benefit of that. So one of the amendments in front of you is M as in Mary 35, which has to do with adding some houses there. And really what I'd like to do is use that more as an example of the bigger picture and focus on, since there's only a couple minutes, not the planning part so much as sustainability. And one of the things that I'm concerned as someone who's been around the neighborhood for a while, not 115 years, is where are these pieces coming in? Understandably, there needs to be change. There needs to be higher density. But how are they coming in? So in the case of certain retail or drive-through situations, it makes sense to say, we've got corners. Let's leverage that. Let's use this in a way that's beneficial. But in the case of these properties that are being proposed that might go from single-family residences to the apartments, they're almost all around a major busy intersection in the first place. So it's harder to say this is really going to work out to go from maybe 10 people living in 1,200, 5,000 square feet to 80 people, because that's also going to bring in 40 cars. And it's getting tougher and tougher just to walk through that neighborhood and try to do things in that way. The other thing I'd like to point out relative to sustainability is I think in my lifestyle as someone who's in his mid-50s now, normal is what you're used to. So there's been a big push on everyone will walk and go to Max. Oh, they'll do something. I beg to differ. I came from the Bay Area. What I noticed there was everyone drove their car, and when they weren't able to do that, they drove it somewhere else and further and further and further away. So I and we, my family, think, yes, there does need to be a change and a different density, but these specific pieces and where they're clustered are going to more likely lead to an amazing increase in the bottleneck of what's occurring there. And from the bigger picture point of view, the thought I would like to leave you with is a question. I think the BPS is doing a great job. I think you all have been doing a very good job. I work with international standards myself. This is part of it. You've got to see the bigger picture. Hence my question. Singularly and collectively, and looking at all these amendments and what folks want to do and what you all want to do and how the city is going to go forward, are these things, the overall plan's specific amendments, the type of things that you yourselves would like to see in your neighborhoods and that you're promoting there on the streets where you live and where we're all going to interact with each other? Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Thank you all.
Next three are Rick Johnson, Tim Ramos, and Amy Greenstadt. And they'll be followed by 81, 82, and 83, Angela Zahara, Catherine Hampton, and Gary Minizuski.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Ahead, please.
I'm Nancy Oberschmidt, and I'm standing in for Rick Johnson. Both of us are neighbors of the Buckman Community Association. We support the following amendments: P20, 21, 39, 42, 44, and P53. We also support these amendments: S20, which eliminates the proposed comprehensive plan change, 62, which changed the zones in blocks 16 through 19 along Belmont and Morrison from R1 and R2.5 to mixed use. There's many properties with truly residential uses. Changing this zone would encourage demolition and erect a wall, essentially, through the heart of our neighborhood. We are supporting S21, elimination of proposed comprehensive plan changes, number 348, changing the zoning of a 6.5 block area from R5 to R2.5. This area of 63 lots has 11 3-to-5-unit multifamily structures, 5 6-to-12-unit properties, and redevelopment would result in a loss of density. 13 single-family houses on lots larger than 32,000 square feet are also at risk of teardown. since the minimum lot size on R2.5 is 1,600 square feet, and the mayor's memo listed six properties in this category. We suggest that allowing an ADU on a lot with a duplex to increase density rather than the proposal of allowing density up to R1 standards on lots with structures less than 75 years old. We support S22, elimination of proposed comprehensive plan change 92, changing zoning on a half block area to R1. These properties, a 10-unit apartment building, Housing Authority of Portland, a duplex, and a quadruplex provide affordable housing. Changing the zoning would encourage teardowns and construction of more expensive housing with a net loss of units.
Thank you. You covered a lot there. You're going to leave us a copy of that. Would you please?
I will.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't get it.
It's the essential. It's all in there.
I was panicking when you were going through all of those different policies.
Oh,
and then, oh great. Thank you.
Okay.
Very helpful.
There it is. All right. Thank you. Tim, good afternoon.
Thank you. Mayor Hales, members of the commission, Tim Ramos for your record here today on behalf of Dr. Rizzoli, testifying in favor of Commissioner Novick's Amendment N14, which is a shift from a suburban-style zone, large lot zone, to R5, a single-family zone, contrary to an earlier characterization, not a multifamily zone. The effect would be to allow a net additional 9 single-family houses to be constructed on a parcel which is roughly the size of 1.5 blocks, 1.5 typical blocks in the city of Portland. It's a site located 3 minutes walk from a transit station and, of course, 3 minutes from all the amenities in Sylvan. The historical context may be important to you. There was a time when Sylvan, long ago, was a part of the city of Portland, and then in 1914, our Supreme Court ordered that it be removed. And for the next 70 years, that area was developed under a county, rural, suburban paradigm, resulting in lot sizes of roughly a half acre to 5 acres. In more recent history, some of the neighbors got together, worked with the city, got the area re-annexed. And I can tell you from being one of the people who knocked on doors and canvassed for annexation that one of the concerns was that Multnomah County never really engaged in community-level planning. And there was recognition then that within a 5-minute walk of a transit station and all those at Sylvan Retail, there was a tremendous amount of redevelopable land and that it needed to be looked at through the lens of modern land use planning. Dr. Rizzoli's property is a remnant. It is an artifact of that old suburban-style zoning. So his request that some additional single-family development be allowed there at a site 3 minutes walk from a transit station seems to be not unreasonable given modern planning principles. The service consideration comment that you've received in the record argues that we need to fear traffic congestion in 2035. The traffic study says we're talking about 9 additional peak hour trips, weighing that minimal impact against the opportunity to leverage our investment in rail and bus infrastructure there. Seems to me that's not a difficult judgment. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Good afternoon.
Hello. My name is Amy Greenstadt. I'm a resident of Northeast 8th Avenue between Knott and Brzee. And I'm testifying to oppose Amendment TSP 40166, which is to turn 7th Avenue, Northeast 7th Avenue, into a greenway, which is an alteration of the original plan, which is to make Northeast 9th Avenue a greenway. My reason is that the city defines neighborhood greenways as, quote, residential streets with low volumes of auto traffic and low speeds where bicycles and pedestrians are given priority, and further explains the character of these streets. Vehicles should travel 20 miles per hour or less. There should be a daily average of approximately 1,000 cars per day, with the upper limit set at 2,000 cars. Northeast 7th Avenue is inappropriate for this type of use. It's a 2-lane street, which was designed from the beginning, as far as I can tell, as a neighborhood artery that now accommodates at least 5,500 cars daily. So to turn it into a greenway would mean to shunt about 4,000 cars a day or more onto neighboring streets, which are one lane, and there's nothing in the current plan to explain where those cars were going to go. And people who live on the neighboring streets, we've seen there's been construction on 7th, and we've seen that when that construction blocks off 7th, we get cars speeding down our streets. My cat was killed by one of those cars. People's kids are walking down the street. It feels very dangerous. And we don't see any evidence that there's any plan to deal with that situation. 9th Avenue, on the other hand, is exactly the kind of street that should be turned into a greenway. And so we support the plan as originally conceived to turn 9th Avenue into a greenway. We do agree that 7th Avenue has too much traffic on it, and we think that there should be traffic calming measures implemented on 7th Avenue to help the residents there. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Thank you all.
The next three are Angela Zahara, Catherine Hampton, and Gary Minizewski, and they'll be followed by 88, 90, and 91, Evan Heatman, Andrew Neiman, and Fawn Aberson.
Afternoon. Who'd like to go first? Who's ready?
She's looking at me. Okay.
You look ready.
Gary Minizewski, I'm here to summarize testimony that I submitted last week. And that material had attachments. This material does not, so if you can. All right. I'm here to talk about middle housing or moderate density housing and affordability. I'm also here to talk a little bit about solar. In February 2, 2016, a memo to you, Mayor Hales, from Planner Engstrom, five options were suggested to the mayor for council consideration. I recommend that the first two approaches be further pursued. Those are reevaluate zoning in the inner southeast Portland area, and evaluate our 2.5 comp plan areas, not yet zoned R2.5. In addition, and that staff report's attached to my testimony. In addition, I recommend that the council have planning staff further evaluate the potential for additional land area to be designated R1, R2, and R2.5, designating more vacant and/or underdeveloped land as R1, R2, or R2.5 is a more legally viable process than hastily changing the comp plan and zoning code to allow for additional density middle housing in fully developed single-family residential neighborhoods. Providing opportunities for low-cost housing is not a simple matter of supply-demand economics. Providing more residential units then the projected need will barely reduce the cost of those units. The private real estate market, and Mayor Hales, you know this very well, determines the mix, quality, and cost of what gets built. The City Council needs to develop a 21st century mix of economic inducements, incentives, and requirements to engage the housing industry in providing for affordable housing. Lastly, I request, and this is my personal request to protect my own investment in solar panels, I request that the City Council develop a policy protecting existing homeowners' right to sunlight. The policy and implementing codes should affect all forms of new housing in moderate and low-density residential zones, the existing zones. When I mean sunlight, I mean not only for solar panels, which everybody likes to talk about, but for yards and for windows, as we had to do as planners in New York way back when in tenement houses. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Welcome.
Hi. I really appreciate this process, and this process is actually one of the many things that I really like about Portland. I think we do this really well. However, I'm here.
What's your name on the record, too?
Pardon me?
Put your name back in the record.
Oh, sorry. Angela Zahava. I live in Selwyn. It's a very hot neighborhood. It's gentrifying at lightning speed. I mean, it's actually, we can't really even absorb how fast things are happening in Sellwood as residents. And I'm here to talk about displacement. I'm very concerned about displacement, people quite literally being thrown on the sidewalk in this gold rush that's happening in Sellwood. It's incredibly fast the way it's developing, and people are just pushing through things before anybody even knows what's happening. And I feel like when we finalize this process, it's going to unleash a new tsunami of displacement, and that's what I'm concerned about. I don't think the council has on their radar screen what I would call underhousing. So you have the huge amount of homeless, of course, but then there's, I think, a huge number of people. I don't know how many, but in my own personal acquaintance, which is actually quite small, a lot of people are underhoused. And, you know, so they're not on the radar screen of being homeless because they're in temporary, substandard, or transitional, or couch surfing, or living in a garage, or having to move 45 minutes away from work and school and community and so forth. There's just, it's constant. Just this morning, I opened my email, and a friend called me saying her daughter, who's a single parent of two kids, is desperately seeking a place because she's been no cause evicted. So I brought my friend here, and she will talk further about this.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hello. I'm Catherine Hampton, and I am homeless. Come September, I will turn 70. I'm in the Sellwood Moreland neighborhood. I was living in a six-unit apartment building where we were all evicted, including the couple who lived directly above me with a brand-new infant son. I've been known to sleep in Sellwood Park, in the doorway on Milwaukee Avenue, here and there, wherever. There is no housing. I was told by my worker at the disability office, I have my stuff in storage, in a storage unit. I was told just to get rid of my stuff, unload it, because there is no place and isn't going to be one for a very long time.
Thank
and
you.
I've met other people who are also seniors that are homeless on the street. Not all of us out there are into the drug scene, are alcoholics, but we are definitely homeless. I've met veterans. I met one in a wheelchair, shot up in Afghanistan, who can't even get the medical help he needs, and he's homeless in a wheelchair.
Thank
Something's
you.
Terribly wrong in the
Thank
States.
You for being here. I hope you...
Oh, and this is my little friend here. He's homeless with me. This is Benny O'Malley.
Hi there, guy. Well, thank you for coming, and I hope that that... You've stopped by my office to let our folks know who you are and how to get a hold of you upstairs.
Actually, may I add a question of Ms. Hampton?
Yes, I have actually seen you at QFC. Didn't lie with you.
What happened to your apartment?
We were all, it was 14.
Was it torn down or turned into condos?
No, it was 1414 Southeast Lambert. We were all evicted, given a little paint job, and everybody moved, they moved new people in. And quadrupled the rent, of course. And in fact, the people that bought it are from Vietnam and not even Americans. They came knocking at my door, just a few days of my eviction notice, wanting my birth date and Social Security number, probably for nefarious reasons. I didn't give it to them.
Okay, but the building is still there.
It's still there, 1414 Southeast okay. Lambert.
They just moved all the tenants out, raised the rent substantially.
Quadrupled it.
Here.
Yeah, I think it's important for people to know that 20% of the people living outside are 55 or over.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It's not fun. Yeah, like I said, I'll be turning 70. Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for coming down. Do stop by my office and let Zach or one of those folks know how to get a hold of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just an anecdotal thing. Take a look at the moderate housing on 165th and Gleason in Gresham. Metro Habitat is doing that.
Yes,
and I helped them get it through the city of Gresham planning process, but I'm also helping to build it now.
Good. It's a nice project. I've been there. It looks great.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, let's take the next three, please.
Our 88, 90, 91, Evan Heitman, Andrew Neiman, and Fawn Aberson. And then the last person I show is Jennifer Gomersall.
Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Evan Heitman. I'm testifying in favor of TSP Amendment 40116. This is the amendment that recommends a greenway on Northeast 7th from Broadway to Sumner. You've heard testimony on the issue from several people. I'd like to focus specifically on why 7th is the best alignment for a bikeway. In Portland, we make it really easy to get around by car. If you're driving a car, you're trying to find the highway, all you have to do is go towards it. You'll find some big signs that'll point you in the right direction. If you want instead to ride a bike, the situation is different. You have to know which streets are suitable, which streets are not, which intersections have traffic lights, which do not, and whether the street you're on will connect through the next neighborhood. We have great bike maps to help with this, but my contention is that if you need a map to use the system is not good enough. If we're serious about our mode share goals, we need to make bicycling as easy and approachable as we make driving today. And I believe that obvious, straightforward, and easy-to-follow bikeways are a huge part of that. All this is to say that a greenway on Northeast 7th would be a great bikeway for one simple reason. It doesn't take a map to understand. It's straight and direct all the way from I-84 to Sumner. Like other successful bikeways in our city, it's parallel to a major auto arterial, and it's easy to find and follow. The only problem with 7th today is that it's dominated by auto traffic. We need a robust greenway treatment for this street to reach its potential as an accessible bikeway connecting inner Northeast neighborhoods to the central city. And it's projects like this that we must embrace if we want to see 30% of commute trips made by bike by 2030. The alternative alignment would require a two-block detour around the edge of Irving Park. We don't ask drivers to find their way around a park in the middle of their trips. Why should we ask the same of people who want to use a bike? Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thanks. My name is Andrew Nierman. I am the land use chair for the King Neighborhood Association, also a small business owner. And I'm also here to testify in favor of TSP Amendment 40116, which would designate Northeast 7th Avenue as a major city bikeway. I'd like to start out by saying that this is a chance to do something world-class on a budget. It's not often that the best option is also the cheapest by half. The bike plan for 2030 was adopted 6 years ago. Mode split, as you all know, the goal is 25% for bikes. That's only 14 years from now. And if we're going to live up to our aspirations, I think the time is now to make some bold moves. There's really no contest between 7th and 9th in terms of route quality. The concerns about traffic spillover are certainly legitimate, but none of us want to see the adjacent streets get spillover traffic. And that's a design issue to be dealt with at a later phase. The reasons why 7th are better have already been listed by many people, but it's flatter, it's a straight shot. There are existing signaled crossings, and there's existing infrastructure in the Lloyd District. And as the mayor mentioned, the bridge going in, you're going to see a flood of bicyclists on 7th. It's one thing to draw a line on a map, it's another thing to do with reality. And I think we should serve bicyclists where they are. And I think that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Greetings, Mayor Hales, Commissioners. Thank you for your time today. My name is Fawn Alberson, and I've come here today representing the North Northeast Business Association as the outreach coordinator. But I'm also a longtime resident in Northeast Portland, and I've been a longtime employee at several small businesses in Northeast, including the Local Lounge and Queen of Sheba International Foods. I'm here today to testify in support of the comp plan for the M42, which would change the zoning on North Fremont. And as somebody who's worked in the community for 6 years, having conversations with many small business owners, I'm excited about this, particularly because I think it really fits well with the 5-year plan that the city did for wealth creation for disadvantaged and minority communities, which thank you so much for that 5-year plan as well. In particular, I'm speaking on behalf of Alan Gebre Hewitz, who is one of the business owners that will be affected by this change, and he will be allowed to develop a mixed-use property of both residence and commercial. And I will say that that's an area that already is very well populated with really cute, quaint businesses. There's the Grand Central Bakery next to Boise Elliott. There's Spin Laundry. There's the Second Story, which does amazing technology work, and a couple of yoga studios. And then on the other end of it is obviously New Seasons across the street and food carts. So I think letting Alam, who's already been developing and in Northeast Portland for 30-plus years as a business owner, has done some great projects. Plus, he's very cognizant of bringing the ethnic and minority communities as business owners, something that area needs very much. And so I'm excited to see Alum. And I also know that Alum donated the use of the Boise Elliott Community Garden for years and years, and I think in his new development he wants to play on that. And there are many great examples, such as what the Lindemann Feed Store did as a satellite store over at Deakum, called Deakum Street Doorways. Have you guys been there? So I think what Alum really sees as his vision is the long-term vision that he has had as a resident and business owner there, but still keeping the really quaint micro-cobbler community involved. He's not looking for a mini-mart. He's not looking for something. If you know anything about this business owner, he's going to bring something organic and great, just like he's been continuing to bring. And this is going to be the best first step, well, maybe not the first step, but one step in the direction of creating wealth for communities of color and disadvantage. And I think he should be allowed to do it, and I think he could send a trend for many other minority property owners there as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all very much.
The last two I show are Jennifer Gomersall and Alam Gibrahiwat.
Come on up, please. And I noticed some other folks came in. If you did sign up previously to testify on the 20th and you weren't called or you weren't able to be called then, you're on the list and we can add you on to the end here. So, Jennifer, go ahead, please, or whoever would like to go first.
Why don't you go ahead?
Good afternoon, Mayor Helen and commissioners. Thank you for allowing me to speak today. For those who don't know me, my name is Alam Gabriot. I am the owner of Queen Sheba International Foods that has been on MLK for almost 25 years. I have been in the neighborhood for over 30 years. And when I came to this neighborhood, I came as a refugee. And whereas I saw in blatant and despair, I saw great potential in the neighborhood. I have come to love as much today. As the day I moved in, I have built in the neighborhood my home and my business. I am not an investor into the neighborhood looking to take. I am vested into my home and always seeking to give back to the community I love. Over the duration of my time in the neighborhood, I have acquired a variety of property, all which I have improved and or used to impact the lives of others in positive way. As a restaurateur, I have employed anywhere from 6 to 15 employees at a time, always families of their own who live in the neighborhood. My longest employee has been with me 23 years, and our shortest employee has been with me for 10 years. As a property owner, I have improved dilapidated buildings into attractive, thriving, and culturally influenced mixed-use spaces. A good example is the Russell Street, the corner of Russell and Rodney, that brought in the crowd which we see today. As a homeowner in the neighborhood, I have contributed by maintaining and improving my properties in a way that improves overall neighborhood livability. For over 20 years, I have donate the use of my land to be used as a Boise Elliott Community Garden. I have made all the use building Ivy Street that has been serving the community for over 20 years as a community center. And I am not an investor that really trying to sell the neighborhood. I am dreaming the neighborhood to look good and serve the need of our community. And that's the best proximity to be developed, to be improved, and we see the best future of our community. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to talk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Hi. I'm Jennifer Gomersall. Lived in Portland for a long time, lived in the Pearl before it was the Pearl, like 25 years. But I came today to thank you, and especially the mayor, for sponsoring the amendment M58 that's going to save the houses on Main Street. And I had a whole thing prepared about the underrepresented group of historic districts, but I've agreed to be hijacked by a bunch of teenagers that I had the unfortunate job of having in my car for a couple hours trip. Starting in the beginning, we went by the house. There was a metal building that was being torn down on a Saturday morning, which started a discussion, which started a bunch of questions, and I ended up having to go through private property rights and how, you know, things are done for planning and question after question, way more than my caffeination level was going to handle. So got very spirited, and they wanted to come testify, but by then they had an exam, and then it was closed. So I agreed to offer for your consideration 3 points that they wanted me to suggest. First one, it seemed to them that Portland is great now because the people who have lived here in the past and currently, the voters, the taxpayers, the community, the neighbors, etc., and that is being torn down for the benefit of people not yet here, or the value is being taken from neighborhoods or transferred to developers, not benefiting the whole city and all its current people. That's one thought. The second thought they want me is, why is constant growth good? Will there ever be a point where enough is enough, or will we continue to overcrowd it till no one wants to live here anymore, and then we tore down all the interesting houses and buildings for nothing? And then the third point they wanted me to offer for your consideration was, if we take all the industrial land for housing all the new people that are coming up here, won't we have more homeless? Because no industry-type jobs like welders that pay well for people who are different learners, can tell what schools they went to, Portland school, for people who are different learners, so they didn't go to a regular-type college but still want to support a family, they won't have anywhere to work. So they wanted you to consider those things when you're deciding, as they pointed out, their future, because we'll all be dead, which I also wasn't quite ready for. And they were just really frustrated because it was that metal building, and it was just being torn down. And I had an hour and a half in the car with them, and they're not related to me, so I couldn't just say, talk, you know, hit your sister or something. But so those were the three things, is, you know, consider that it was built by people who are here and not wreck it for people who aren't here or were expecting. And the growth thing was hard for me to answer because, you know, I have an MBA. I could get into the economics and all that, but they kind of had a point. You know, when do we just say Portland's closed now, and, you know, and
how would we say that?
Well, I know it was quite the discussion.
Well, thanks for being there for their teachable moment.
I hope, but anyways, and they were all under 16, so, you know, there was a lot of civics going on as well.
You did well.
Thank you for representing them.
You go.
What a perfect way to end our multiple hours and months of testimony. Thank you very much. Tell them that we will consider their advice.
Okay.
Thanks for bringing their wisdom here, and keep good luck with that discussion. More caffeine next time, maybe.
Yeah,
Walter, we got your letter, so thank you very much. Did you need to speak to it, or should we just put it in the record?
I don't think he was signed. He wasn't signed up.
Okay.
I'd be happy to speak to, but I wasn't on the list.
Okay. Well, we've got it. We've got it, and you're always clear with us. So I think we've got to let those wonderful teenagers have the last word. Okay. So, therefore, we are going to close verbal testimony, and then the question is, how long do you want to keep the record open to accommodate any requests for late-breaking written testimony?
There is a certain amount of symmetry in that last testimony. When we started this process a number of years ago, one of the first workshop questions we asked is, where is everyone going to be, and what are they going to be doing in 2035? And a big section of the room looked pretty grim. one advice I guess we have from the staff is tomorrow we're planning at 2 o'clock to begin deliberation on a number of the amendments, and we would suggest that it's probably not good to have the record open while you're doing that amendment, because you'll start to get play-by-play testimony, which can be a little bit challenging to deal with, and it's maybe easier for you to have a static.
Keep the record open until then and ask Multnomah Neighborhood to communicate their discussion and recommendations from tonight, maybe.
Yeah, we thought maybe noon tomorrow was a reasonable deadline.
Is that okay with everybody? That sound good? All right, let's do that, but would someone please
We're not taking any more verbal testimony, right?
Or written at
correct.
That point.
Correct, and we're just leaving the email and written letters, and we'd leave our map application online on until noon tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds fine. I think all around, if someone would please let them know so that she can get back to us based on their discussion tonight. Okay, anything else, Eric, that you need for us to do at this point?
We'll see you tomorrow.
So we're going to close the hearing, keep the record open until noon tomorrow, and we'll begin discussion on amendments tomorrow afternoon. Thank you very much. Milestone.
Yeah, congratulations. Quite the process.